This morning I was planning to speak a few words on offering prayers. You know, there are so many paths. There's path of karma, path of jnana, path of yoga, path of bhakti. Every path has its own rules, regulations to be followed, procedure to be followed. At least we can say about the path of bhakti, that in the path of bhakti, it's not by one's personal penances or endeavors or austerities that one can attract the attention of Krishna. Because Krishna is the most renounced. So we can't attract him by renunciation. Krishna is the most austere when he comes as Naranarayan Rishi. And we can't please him by our austerities, which are insignificant. We can't please him with any kinds of goods or foods or dresses or ornaments or anything of that kind. We can't attract him very easily. In fact, the path of bhakti is called as the path of grace. That devotee is considered the most intelligent devotee who has been able to attract the attention of Krishna by a certain type of attitude. Then the devotee is considered a very great devotee. For example, yesterday we were talking about the words like taking shelter. Have you heard the word taking shelter? What it means to you, taking shelter? Is it like you are under an umbrella or something? Or now you have taken shelter of this building? Taking shelter or approaching the Lord. You heard these words? Prabhupada uses in his purports. Approaching the holy name, approaching the Lord, taking shelter. So these have a very, very deep meaning. Generally, only that person can really search for water, one who is very thirsty. One who is terribly hungry, afflicted by hunger. You can see how he will beg for food. Like sometimes you see beggars are sitting and they just keep a begging bowl in the front and they are chatting amongst themselves. Because they are not so hungry. If somebody is really hungry, they will take the begging bowl and run from person to person, beg, "Sir, 3 days I didn't eat anything. I am going to die, please give me something." So we can see when one is hungry or when one is thirsty, one feels a very desperate need. Similarly, we can see people who are running their families, wife, children, when there is some emergency or crisis at home, suddenly some accident has taken place, some relative has undergone an accident, you can imagine how much emergency they feel, the crisis they feel in their lives. At such times, the person will take shelter of someone seeking some money or some support. At that time, they completely forget their designations. They completely forget their qualifications. They completely forget their position or their greatness or their superiority over others. They completely forget all this. Sarva upadhi vinirmuktam. And they seek the help of that other person shamelessly, without presenting one's qualification to them. So that is actually the meaning of seeking shelter. So seeking mercy, seeking blessings, seeking guidance, these are some of the constituents of the path of bhakti, which is called as the path of grace. So mercy, blessings and guidance are available, but they have to be tapped. Without being tapped, one cannot gain any advantage from them. Just like the electricity is available. The posts are available, the lines are passing. But you have to connect yourself to it. When you connect yourself to it, now we have the illumination here. So unless one connects oneself properly, one cannot get electricity. In the same way, like it is said in Quran also, you tap the door and the door shall be opened, it is said. So without tapping the door will not be opened. Similarly, the mercy of God is available through various agencies. And one has to connect oneself to those agencies. And then one will be able to tap the mercy. And then feel the benefit. So somebody may say, oh, I don't feel like praying, or I don't feel like begging for mercy, what should I should do? Then one should feel despondent that one is unable to beg. One is unable to beg, one is unable to pray, one is unable to seek Lord's guidance. One should actually lament that I am not able to do this, my dear Lord. My heart is more harder than a diamond. Diamond is 10 on Mohr scale. It is the hardest. So my heart is more harder than diamond. I am not able to pray. I am not able to beg you. If one is not even able to pray like that, one should contemplate on how my heart is not able to focus on such noble thoughts like offering a prayer or begging for the help. So one should contemplate on one's inability and seek association of devotees who are successfully doing that. And one should find ways and means by which one can bring about that type of fertile heart and fertile mood in which one will be able to offer prayers. So one should do these things. Because when one can pray like that and offer one's heart, expressing one's need, then one will see that one gets great help from the previous acharyas and the present acharyas, and that can give us the power to chant, and can also give us the taste to sustain chanting. We need the first of all we need the power to chant bal, like that devotee prays. Ekakiyamar nahi paya bal hari nama sankirtane tumi kripa kori shraddha bindu diya deha krishna nama dhane. He is praying, oh my dear Vaishnava Thakur, single handedly alone ekakiyamar nahi paya bal, I don't have strength to chant the holy names. So the greatest strength is considered to be the power to chant the holy name, which Haridas Thakur had in great quantity. Haridas Thakur could chant 3 lakh names of Krishna every day, non-stop. And we are chanting only 25,000 names every day. How much? 1/12 of it. But still it is so hard, so difficult. Because we don't have that bal. There are different types of bal. Intelligence is considered as one type of strength. Or physical strength is considered another type of strength. Financial power is considered another type of strength. Or political power is considered another type of bal. But amongst all the bal, nayam atma balahinena labhya. That bal is actually spiritual strength. By which one will be able to chant the holy name with great eagerness and enthusiasm. And one will also have the taste, which is a sustained taste. That sustained taste means stamina. Like, you know, if you are able to have sustained running in marathon, that means you have stamina. Similarly, here the devotee is praying for taste for the holy name and the power to chant the holy name and the taste to sustain it. And we will get that when one offers prayers. Because sometimes in the early days we jump and dance and we sing Hare Krishna very happily, but we don't have that sustained taste. We are like a flower pot. You know this? No. Just comes like a flower pot. It just goes and then finished in few moments. But we should be like the 10,000 wala, you know? Tap, 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 tap. It goes on. You don't know when will it stop. Isn't it? You have seen that? People play this. 10,000 wala, 20,000 wala. That means it goes on and on. Sometimes it goes on for 1 hour also. So in spiritual life we need a continued enthusiasm, and that enthusiasm will not come only by techniques, like your techniques of one time and succession and front line and follow up will not help in having the power to chant the holy name or the taste to sustain it, if it is superficial, if it is not performed from the heart. So, any material technique or competency is rendered useless in approaching the spiritual holy name. because the holy name is Krishna himself, and it has to be approached in a spiritual way. As we were saying, one has to beg, one has to pray, one has to hope for the mercy. And what is mercy? Mercy means that which is awarded to you when you don't deserve it. That is called mercy. Once the Vrajavasis, when they came to know that Krishna is in the waters of Yamuna and is caught by this most dangerous snake, Kalia, they all ran to the Yamuna river. And in fact, some of the covered boys had already fallen on the ground, unconscious by drinking those waters. In fact, the Kalia was so vicious and poisonous that even the birds falling, who were flying in the sky were falling into the river from the smoke that was coming out of the mouth of Kalia. But Krishna, you see, he climbed on the hoods of Kalia and started dancing. So first his mother Yashoda and Nanda, they were all lamenting and crying. They wanted to enter the waters to save Krishna because Krishna was in the coils of Kalia. But later on, Krishna climbed on the hoods of Kalia and started dancing. And this vicious snake with bifurcated tongue, he was licking his lips and was trying to bite Krishna with different hoods. And every time he would lift the hood, Krishna would pound on his head and push it down. And he was beautifully dancing. At the time, Kalia was emanating smoke from his mouth. It was going upwards. And there were demigods from the sky showering flowers which were coming downwards. And the demigod seeing Krishna's beautiful dance, Krishna was doing Bharatanatyam on the top of Kalia's hoods. Yashumati Nandana Brajavara Nagara. Yashumati Nandana Brajavara Nagara. Gokula Ranjana Khana. Ana Gopi Parana Dhana Madana Manohara. Gopi Parana Dhana Madana Manohara. Kaliyadamana Vidana. Kaliyadamana Vidana. Amala Harinama Miya Vilasa. Vipina Purandara Navina Nagara Bora. Vipina Purandara Navina Nagara Bora. Vamsi Vadana Suvasa. Raja Jana Palana Surakula Nashana. Raja Jana Palana Surakula Nashana. Nanda Godhana Rakhavala. Nanda Godhana Rakhavala. Govinda Madhava Navanita Taskara. Govinda Madhava Navanita Taskara. Sundara Nanda Gopala. Yamuna Tata Chara Gopi Vasana Hara. Yamuna Tata Chara Gopi Vasana Hara. Rasa Rasika Kripa Maya. Shri Radha Vallabha Vrindavana Natavara Sri Radha Vallabha Bhakti Vinoda Ashraya Mati Nandana Tadavara Nagara Mati Nandana Tadavara Nagara Gokula Ranjana Kara Gokula Ranjana Kara Gopi Parana Dhana Madana Manohara Kaliyada Mana Vidana Kaliyada Mana Vidana Krishna Bhagavan Ki Jai. In this way, Krishna was dancing very beautifully on the hoods of Kaliya. So the demigods felt that the smoke that was coming out of Kaliya's mouth was like beautiful flower offering to Krishna, on the feet of Krishna. So the wives of Kaliya, Nagapatnis, they came with their children and putting their children in front of Krishna, they were offering very wonderful prayers. They were saying, my dear Lord, our husband, Kaliya, who is being severely punished by you now, really deserves this kind of punishment. Because you are always equal to everyone. The mercy that you show to others, or the punishment that you give others, there is no difference between the two. Because ultimately you are the well-wisher of all living beings. Anything you do for others is for their benefit. That is why whatever you are doing to our husband, we feel that it is certainly befitting him. So we are very thankful to you for that. And then they said, our husband must have been a very great sinner in his previous life. Because only a person who has committed terrible sin, who has been always envious of others, who has been very crooked, they only get the body of a serpent. And that is why our husband has been born into this species. So he must have committed enormous sin in his previous life. But we are now seeing a very strange thing in our lives, they said. Although our husband has been very sinful in the past and he got a snake's body, now we are seeing that your lotus feet, that is most sought by saintly people, is now dancing on his hoods. What a strange sight it is. Even Goddess of Fortune Lakshmiji is performing severe penances in Bahulavan, seeking small dust particles from your lotus feet for many, many long years, aspiring for the dust of your feet. But even she is not able to attain it. But here we are finding that our husband is so fortunate that you are dancing on his head. We have heard from the authoritative scriptures, they said, that only those who become completely freed from all sin can get Krishna's dust on their head. In fact, such saintly people who get Krishna's dust particles on their head, they become completely freed from desires in such a way that they don't even accept the position of king of the heaven. Or they don't even accept the position of being Brahma for the whole universe, the lord of whole creation. Or they don't even accept all the sovereignty in all the three worlds. Nor do they want to attain Siddhaloka to achieve some mystic powers. Nor do they want to enjoy the company of beautiful women. And they don't aspire for any of these desires. Such only people who achieve Krishna's dust particles from his feet. But we have heard that you don't offer that to anybody unless one has become freed from all sin. Esham tu antagatam papam jananam punya karmanam tedvandva moha nirmukta bhajante maam dhidavrataha. One can become a dhidavrata bhakta. When? When one becomes completely freed from all sin. But how is it that without Kaliya, freed from such vicious snake-like tendencies and the previous sinful reactions. How are your two lotus feet dancing on his hooves? They said, this is a practical impossibility. This is inconceivable. This is contradictory. And this contradiction can be resolved only by understanding one thing, they said. You know what is that one thing? Yeah? Causeless mercy, they said. This is causeless mercy. That means our husband is not qualified, but you are offering him the rest of your feet, and you are blessing him, and you are purifying him, and he is vomiting blood and vomiting poison, vomiting smoke, and he is becoming purified. It is only your causeless mercy. Similarly, Lord Nityananda Prabhu showing mercy on Jagai Madai is causeless mercy. Because they didn't deserve it. They were very sinful. But he went and gave them mercy. Somebody calling someone and giving them mercy even without being asked for. So there is causeless mercy. So this is what we have to aspire for in our lives. So for achieving this kind of causeless mercy, first of all, we have to feel ourselves a destitute. Destitute means, like you should feel that I am poor, I am fallen, and I am weak at heart, and I am filled with sinful tendencies, and I have a lot of sinful reactions coming in my life. And in this way, I am most unfortunate. And I need the causeless mercy of the Lord and the devotees. One should feel this. Some people are fortunate to get such feelings. Some people, they're very fortunate. If we don't have such feelings, then we should aspire for it. We should hanker to get such realizations of wanting to feel that I am a destitute, I am impoverished, and I have nothing. Krishna is my only wealth, and everything else will be vanquished by time. And I don't have that wealth also. Krishna also I don't have. And we should actually want that. And if you are not having such feelings, we should aspire for it. Understanding the nobility of such feelings, how noble they are, how pure they are. So, by reciting the prayers given in the scriptures, like the one which I told you now, Nagapatni's prayers, by reciting such prayers, one will become charged in the heart to also offer fervor prayers. At this time, I'd like to read one statement of Prabhupada. This is from Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, 4th Chapter 95th verse, 4.95. Prabhupada is saying here, one who is sincerely engaged in the service of the Lord with love and faith can talk with Krishna and receive instructions by which he can speedily return home back to Godhead. Today, many scholars defend the science of religion and they have some conception of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But religion without practical experience of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is no religion at all. If one is not qualified to talk with Krishna and take lessons from him, how can one understand the principles of religion? See, this is very amazing thing what Prabhupada is saying here. That one should be able to talk with Krishna. So how can we talk to him? So the talking to Krishna is actually called as the prayer. Like it is said, prayer occurs when we break through the three things. Prayer occurs when we break through the material coverings and we actually speak to Krishna or chant his holy names. And thirdly, when we enter the spirit of the Shastric Stotras. You remember I was telling you a few minutes ago about when we are hungry, when we are thirsty, when we are desperately need of some money or help in crisis situation, what do we forget? We forget our designations. We don't say that, you know, these are my qualifications, so you gave me. Yeah. We don't ask like that. In the same manner, when one can give up one's material designations, Sarvopadi Vinir Mukta, that I'm a brahmachari, or I'm a grihastha, I'm a wealthy man, I'm an educated man, I'm an intelligent man, and I'm a powerful man. I have political, influence. I have financial influence. I have done this, I have done that. I am a gold medalist. Or I have these capabilities and skills. So these are all designations. Sarva Padi Vinirmukta means one actually gives up those designations and understands actually all these designations will be stripped off by the slap of time. And I am an insignificant, tiny living being, tiny creature, crawling on the surface of the globe, eating little food and drinking little water and spending some 80 years in a time span of infinity. So why don't you think like that actually? Sometimes I see a small creature, a frog. You've seen frogs moving, some tiny frogs moving like this. So we are like that only in this surface of the globe. If you take an aerial view, now try to see, we should be imaginative. That is also very important. Imaginative leads to creativity. Creatively think about yourself. Take your camera and go up higher and higher in the sky. Telescopic camera. From there you see how we will be looking like. There are practically 6 billion people on the surface of the globe. People living. And we are also one tiny creature on the surface of the globe. And struggling with our mind and senses, we are wandering this world. So one should actually understand one's insignificant position. Then one will easily become free from material designations. Actually, great acharyas like Rupa Goswami is offering one prayer. My dear Lord, although I am a fool, I am a great fool, he says, although I am a very great fool, and you are the most wisest of the wise, although I am very sinful, and you are greatly saintly, and although I always commit offenses while chanting the holy names, still I fall at your feet and beg you, please be merciful to me and don't discard me away. Although I chant your holy names only occasionally, I am not able to chant your names 24 hours a day. So he's praying like this. If Acharya like Rupa Goswami is praying like that, we can understand our position, how tiny we are. So one has to actually break through the material coverings. And how do we actually speak to Krishna? The speaking to Krishna is not some sahajyayik figment of imagination that I have become a lover of Krishna like the gopis and I am speaking with Krishna as some people imagine. One cannot so easily speak to Krishna or Krishna's deity form so easily. But how that ability to speak comes, it is something that is developed over a period of time as one becomes purer and purer and purer in the heart. And that has a connection to the third point here. That one enters into the spirit of the Shastric Stotras. The prayers that are spoken by great devotees in Srimad Bhagavatam, these are not ordinary words. These are called as Uttama Shloka. Uttama Shloka are called as choice poetry. The choice poetry are those prayers which arise in the heart of a devotee, not by his personal endeavor, but by the blessing of Krishna. They are called as Uttama Shloka, divinely inspired. So devotee doesn't even know what is he speaking. Like for example, Lord took the conch shell and kept it on the head of Dhruva. Then Dhruva suddenly started speaking as if, just like you take a wire and connect it to the socket, immediately electricity starts flowing in that. Like you find, then it's like a live wire. So Dhruva became a live wire. Started speaking such amazing prayers. Similarly, Lord touched Prahlada's head and Prahlada became empowered to offer amazing prayers to the Lord. And Brahma also, when Brahma offered the prayers, at the end Lord Krishna told him. See what Krishna tells him in Bhagavatam. If you want the verse number, it is 3.9.38. Srimad Bhagavatam. The Lord is saying, O Brahma, the prayers that you have chanted praising my transcendental activities, the penances, and your firm faith in me, all these are to be considered my costless mercy. So Lord is saying like that, these are all my costless mercy, that these prayers which you are offering. So Lord is the one who is the inspirer of Uttama Shloka. Lord is the inspirer of the choice poetry. That means Lord is glorifying himself with those prayers. Why? Because Lord only made this person, gave him the impetus to speak, isn't it? And he's speaking the glories of the Lord. Why? Because it is the nature of the jivas to be always in the vicinity of Krishna at his lotus feet and serve him and delight in that service. But because they have forgotten it, they have gone far away, the Lord actually inspires the devotees to speak such prayers in glories of the Lord so that the devotees can take note of them and they can remember them and they can learn the method of offering prayers to Lord. They can learn. That is why Krishna makes these great personalities speak such wonderful prayers like Nagapatnis, Indra, or Brahma, or you find the personified Vedas, or you find Akrura. So many prayers. Bhagavatam is simply full of prayers. Amazing prayers. You see, if you see Bhagavad Gita, the Sanskrit level in Bhagavad Gita is pretty simple. Even a preliminary student of Sanskrit can very easily appreciate Bhagavad Gita. But the Bhagavad Gita has a very great depth of philosophy. The great scholars and scientists and poets, they are appreciating the depth of philosophy in Bhagavad Gita. When you go to Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhagavatam Sanskrit is certainly more difficult than Bhagavad Gita. And the kind of rasa chand alankar that is used in Bhagavatam and the ornaments that are used in Bhagavatam is very great. Because the prayers in Bhagavatam are simply spoken by devotees inspired by the Lord. But not only the prayers are very sweetly placed, like the rasas and the like Shringar ras or Bhivatsa ras and different rasas. Similarly, the chand and alankar also wonderful. But most importantly, the Srimad Bhagavatam prayers are imbued with much deeper devotion than even Bhagavad Gita. That's why Bhagavatam is considered as a postgraduate study. So one should read Bhagavad Gita to put a foundation of philosophy. And on that foundation, one should study Bhagavatam and the pastimes from Bhagavatam and the prayers in Bhagavatam to develop that devotional mood. How to approach the Lord. In what mood to come in front of the Lord and offer prayers. By repeatedly reciting the prayers given in Srimad Bhagavatam, one's heart will become charged with devotion. When heart becomes surcharged with devotion, like that, these prayers will keep coming in your mind repeatedly. Time to time, when you are walking, going, coming, these wonderful prayers will keep coming in the mind. And that is how the heart becomes filled with prayers. And such devotees whose hearts are filled with prayers, they are not able to